This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Good news here concerning the Miles Montgomery Golf Classic presented by Pinky's Pulling, first ever at Bill Wright Golf Complex at Jefferson Park. They have opened up either one or two foursomes, and they are available now. If you click at KISW.com, click on the link for the golf tournament. It says sold out. Do not worry about that. They have opened up one or two. So if you got a team together and you'd like to join us, they open up late. So you have that opportunity now. By the way, the Daily Migs Morning Show, they will be broadcasting live from the Bill Wright Golf Complex at Jefferson Park that Monday morning. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that makes them excited.
Oh, yeah. Well, why not, man?
They got beers.
Man, you got people there to talk to?
Yeah, exactly. Broadcasting live from the parking lot, I bet. Well, they'll probably put them inside.
It depends. If it's raining, keep them outside.
They did. They redid that entire place. So the restaurant's completely new. The bar, the restrooms, the whole deal. So that will be a good deal. Okay, head chef coming up. Ted's Meat and Potatoes. The 10 most dangerous foods in your fridge. But first, time for a few emails to the men's room at KISW.com.
You've got mail.
Jump into the birthdays. Guys, my husband's birthday is May the 31st. He's 45.
Dip responsibly.
That's right. Brought to you by Men's Room Roasted Red Salsa from San Juan Salsa Company. Hadn't gotten to the birthdays yet because that's a Saturday.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So we don't do, we're not on the air there, Desiree.
Oops, Daisy.
On Saturday, yeah.
I don't know. I think you got into the birthday segment.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
You got into the birthday segment.
No, not yet. Now time for a few real birthdays. Brought to you by the fine folks at San Juan Salsa Company and Men's Room Roasted Red Salsa.
Dip responsibly.
Now to the real birthdays.
Yeah.
Not ones that are in the future.
Always a win.
Gentlemen, today is my wife Taylor's 31st birthday. She's an amazing wife to our two boys. The best wife I've ever had. That's awful sweet.
How many has he had?
I don't know. Please wish her a happy birthday with some dad jokes from Miles and the Dirty Germans giving her advice on what to do with her next 12 days off. Love you, baby, and happy birthday. That from Alex. All right, listen. Dad jokes. Guys, how many South Americans does it take to change a light bulb? How many South Americans does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
One.
One Brazilian. What do you call a dog in a submarine? A dog in a submarine.
Underdog.
It's not bad. A subwoofer. And how do fruit jokes typically start? How do fruit jokes typically start?
With a peel?
Not bad. Mangoes into a bar. Mangoes into a bar.
Which birthday is this?
31st.
Yeah, she wanted advice on what now?
What to do with her 12 days off.
Yeah, treat it like the 12 days of Christmas, because the maids of Lilken are always a good time.
Yes, you know, if you do it correctly, so have all the lords a-leaping.
Mm-hmm.
Man, 12 days off.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Nice birthday present.
That's a good little break.
Yeah, seriously. I never thought about giving myself time off for my birthday before.
Not 12 days.
I do it every year.
Well, yes.
And we all do it for you. The whole country.
Yep. Thanks, everybody.
Whole world, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, damn near.
Yeah. Oh, Michelle's what I was sending a request for myself, just in case none of my friends do. And none of your friends did, Alex. Today is my 40th trip around the Great Yellow Ball. Wow. And I would like to have Coach Ted's advice on what to look forward to as a 40-year-old. Also, a bong rip and Bigfoot talking about the delicious Men's Room IPA from Black Raven. Thank you for the years of entertainment. You guys make the drive home that much better than from Alex.
All right, a lot of things you look forward to in your 40s. First of all, more doctor visits. Most importantly, Alex, figuring out what your real friends are. Because apparently you don't have any. None of them can email in. You've been talking about it for days. I say you jettison those jackasses and find a new crew.
This Bigfoot seems a little harsh, Dad, but maybe you could enjoy one of the IPAs, right? I just get all this grief going, oh, Bigfoot, he's a foodie. He drinks IPA. He's too good for the rest of us. You're right. I am too good for you. But that said, tried to mention my IPA. It's not all heavy like you sissies complain about. It's actually light with notes of citrus.
You're looking out.
You didn't think Bigfoot knew notes of citrus. Kiss Bigfoot's hairy ass.
Looking out for your girlish figure there.
Guys,
Thank you for noticing.
I'm writing it for myself. I love your show. Today's my 44th birthday, and I love the captain talking about my baked goods. And Coked Out Ted talking about beekeeping while coked up. Thanks so much, guys. Lots of love. That from Kelly.
Ooh, well, happy birthday. I admit I don't know much about baked goods in general, but little Capitan certainly has a history of sampling pie. Crunch bags.
All right, beekeeping. Well, here's the good thing. When you're all coked up and you're beekeeping, you can run in there and grab that honey. I don't care if I'm getting stung. It's much like my cocaine. I like my honey raw. Uncut honey. Comb. Bring me the comb.
Want to wish my buddy, I'm Matt, a very happy 55th trip around the sun. Skilled mechanic, all-around nice guy. And he listens to the men's room every single day while he's working on cars. He would love to hear some dad jokes from Miles. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Let's see what we got here.
Yeah. All right.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dishes.
Dishes who?
Dishes Sean Connery.
All right, I like that one.
What do you call a hippie's wife? What do you call a hippie's wife?
Mrs. Hippie?
Mrs. Hippie! And guys, the capital, Alaska, is located within the panhandle.
Oh, yeah?
Did you know that? All right, guys.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you, to you, to you. BG.
Yaza Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Schweinefleisch.
Thank you, Mom. And one more email that's concerning the foods from your hometown, the foods that you grew up with. Good day, gents and Miles. You guys were talking about pepperoni rolls again, and my grandmother is 78 years old, grew up in around Iowa, and she is the only person I've ever met who actually makes pepperoni rolls. Now, until recently, she didn't have any cheese in there, just the bun and special elongated skinny pepperoni twigs on the inside, which sounds like it would be dry and hard to eat, but that was never the case. Fresh homemade bread may have had something to do with that. I grew up with them having them my whole life, did not realize how mind-blowing they were to the rest of the world till I was about 18. So I took a trip up to our grandma's house in the woods, took the whole band I was in at the time so they could meet grandma. Now, my grandma is a little different. She'll tell you how much she loved sunshine acid in the 60s. Now, for years after I turned 18, it was customary that she would set out a bottle of 180 Vicodin pills in it when she knew I was coming. So I tried to tell my friends, and I don't think they believed me until we got there. She said hi to everyone, then looked at me, pointed to the bottle, left the room. I probably yelled, told you, opened the bottle and distributed those to those who wanted. Grab some joints, and the party begins. Now, my friends could not believe it. 3 hours later, the entire metal band I was in at the time had all our gear set up on Grandma's porch, high as F on Vicodin, blowing weed clouds and blasting metal into the wilderness. As soon as we were done playing, Grandma brings out the pepperoni rolls. Now, everyone instantly forgot how crazy the Vicodin situation was, because these things were really a game changer. I never knew how much of an oddity they were on the item with cheese in them because of hearing you guys mention it. So I'll never know how we did not put that together before these things because it's so simple and so basic and so deliciously good. Grandma couldn't get the correct pepperoni for a few years during COVID. So I was going through pepperoni roll withdrawals for a while, but they are back. Picture below is the most recent batch she made. I'm not sure how other people's look, but this is the classic style for my grandma. I'm going to remain anonymous at this time. And there's a picture of some delicious pepperoni rolls.
They're if you never had them, they're awesome. I remember being a kid. We had some family in Turtle Creek up outside of PA. And same thing. Like, we went up there, and, like, it's close enough to West Virginia. They had them. And as a kid, you don't like to try new stuff. And, like, I was like, you couldn't get enough of them.
Say the name out loud. Pepperoni roll. The math is done. You're going to like
fantastic. And you know what they do in West Virginia? They put them in the oven for a minute. Right. Let the cheese get warm.
Sure.
They split them down the middle on top, like the way the Subway used to cup their subs.
Yeah.
Then they either put chili in there, sometimes grilled green peppers and onions in the top. They will put marinara in the top.
Yeah.
And then add the onions and peppers and more pepperoni. Then they put them back in the oven and hot bake them like you would a meatball sub.
And people say that West Virginia has no good idea.
I'm telling you,
they
man,
just hit it out of the park.
Any gas station, you can go in and get those. You can drop meatballs in them. They have them about five different ways.
I remember shops having them, too. There was just a bunch of them in a bag.
Yeah.
And that's how I remember. Like, you buy a bag of them and then heat them up at home.
All right, coming up at 5:08, we will drink a toast with a shot of the day. But first,
time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes now. Here's your host, head chef of the men's room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef in the house.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. You know, there's a lot of things in the kitchen that can be dangerous. Remember, there's no handle on a falling knife. It's the truth, man. Just let it fall. You should be wearing shoes. You're in the kitchen, so it shouldn't stab you in your
foot. Move your feet. Just move. Just, you know what? Let it hit the ground.
There's hot grease. Hot pans, a lot of stuff. Mm. But what about dangers in your refrigerator?
What?
Yeah, it's dangerous in there. Basically, Consumer Reports that came out, none of these outright are dangerous. You know what I mean? Like a hard-boiled egg, it's not going to have a knife on it. They're just saying these are the most reported, like, recalls and cases of poison, or, you know, people going to the hospital and whatnot.
Okay.
Sure. Like I said, most of these on there are going to be, most of these on there you have in your home. So first they start with pre-cooked meat. So this is like pre-made salads, frozen burritos.
Okay.
This made the list because it gets recalled a lot. Like for instance, like what was that? 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, there was that company that makes all the sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
So like you're always going to have those little Caesar salads or whatever.
Yep.
So there's meat in there if you get like the chicken Caesar salad. So they're just saying those often will get recalled.
So that company pretty much recalled everything that it makes.
Right? Well, so did, I mean, think about what happened with Boar's Head.
Oh, yeah.
Which in my mind is top of the line. So even the best.
I'm with you.
Even the best. You know, they're
things happen.
Yeah.
Well, you got to have food inspectors. All right. Now, this one's low on the list. Only 4 hospitalizations last year. Organic basil.
I mean, what basil is not organic?
Well, so you need pesticides on it to kill whatever the disease is, I guess?
I guess. They're all just right. saying at least 4 people have gone because of organic basil. These are dangerous.
You mean like they have died? They have passed on?
No. These are just 4 hospitalizations.
Okay. Thank you.
If you want a death, we got to move up the list to organic carrots.
So
there was one death last year.
Is this lack of
20 hospitalizations.
Okay, look. So then buy the non-organic. Wash the living bejesus out of it to get whatever pesticides, because that is obviously keeping you alive.
Well, even people aren't going to the hospital with the one with the pesticide.
Well, it could just be that one organic carrot had a lot of poop on it from some animal. Like, I don't know.
You can only hope.
Well, just also, you got to look at the numbers of people that are eating organic carrots. One death, 20 hospitalizations. I mean, it sucks for that family. But I'm not trying to sound heartless. I'm just saying, statistically, I feel you'll be okay eating carrots. But just know, they're in there. They're lurking. Next, leafy greens.
Mm-hmm.
One death and 36 people had to be treated.
And that's usually what, like E. coli, and there's something else always seems to pop up. Spinach, sprouts, like they seem to go through the ringer all the
time. I'm about
to
say, I feel like spinach gets recalled once every 5 years. I mean, I eat a decent amount of spinach. I feel okay. I used to add sprouts to, like, stuff just because it's an easy source.
That's a dangerous one, too.
But sprouts, honestly is really, you're rolling the dice. Mm-hmm. Like,
they get recalled all the time to the point.
And frankly,
like,
they're
not that good.
That's what I was gonna say. To me,
they're not worth the risk.
Break down the numbers, right? Like, because they don't taste like much, right? So you could add them to a sandwich and like get some greens without, but like they also don't taste like much. So don't sweat it.
Yeah,
like I'm not getting them.
They're not worth the risk.
They don't say what flavor, but they say onions. These are dangerous foods in your fridge. One death, 34 hospitalizations.
Do you put your onions in the fridge?
I do not.
I do not either.
I do after I've cut into them.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Once they're chopped up, they go in there.
Right.
I ate a lot of onion, too, man.
Yeah.
Like, to the point I
chives, shallots, yellow onions are my favorite.
Red onions. Yeah. I mean, onions, I'm down with onions. Green onions.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I typically saute them. So hopefully I'm cooking out the bad.
Hopefully.
Whatever.
Also, I was going to say, I don't know there's a much better smell in this world than sauteing onions.
Nope.
Onions, peppers, and men's room sausage tonight. The beer brought.
Oh, is that the dinner?
Tonight. That's my dinner.
Nice work.
Yes. Going down a list of the 10 most dangerous foods in your fridge. Eggs.
Yeah.
34
yeah.
different people landing in the hospital.
It's just because, they're holding on to them for too long. They're not necessarily, purple rotten, but they do have a turning point.
I feel like it takes a while.
I would guess runny would be the culprit.
If
you're letting the yolk go, you know.
You know what's funny? I don't know. It's just the texture. But God, getting an egg on you is just gross. A raw egg.
On you.
Correct.
I think because it dries so quickly. If you get any egg on you, even when you wipe it off, there's still egg on you.
And somehow it is
already dried.
It's just clear and slimy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And I love eggs, but man, yeah, that's just one of those things. Like, when that's raw and it gets on you, like, God, this is gross.
Mm-hmm. It's alive, man.
Eggs are delicious, though, man. God, I love it.
Eggs are awesome. You know, the chef's hats have 100 different.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Can you name 100 different ways to cook the egg?
Some people have tried. Thrill, this one's going to hurt me and you because we thoroughly love this stuff. Queso fresco and cojita cheese.
Oh, come on.
Two deaths, 23 hospitalizations.
That's basically the Mexican version of feta, right? The really light.
That's the texture, but not the taste.
Okay,
yeah, right, I got it in my fridge right now.
Okay. But Miles, you're not wrong. It crumbles like feta. It looks a lot like feta. It is.
That's what they put on the Mexican corn if you go to, Washington State Fair.
All that kind
of
stuff.
My wife hooks it up, man. Summertime. So she'll say, do you want corn on the cob? Like, absolutely. And then it's the mayo, the cheese.
Does she put the corn on the grill with the shuck on it and then peel it like they do at the fair?
We have done that. And then sometimes she'll just straight boil it and then just roll it in the cheese mayo concoction. Either way, it's so good.
I remember years ago sitting at somebody's house. And the dad was like, I got this recipe. And I was like, and he put mayonnaise on that corn. I was like, what in the hell are you doing? And now I realized he was just a little ahead of the curve with this street corn.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. This one won't shock you. Last year, 29 people, ER, raw milk and raw milk cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Raw milk is a big movement. I get it. It's coming back. There is a lot of, studies that show it can be good for you. The issue is, you got to really be in a state, A, that allows it,
mm-hmm.
and B, you've got to get it directly from that. You got to get it pretty much from that source and then drink it pretty quickly.
Yeah,
so, like, I have a friend in California.
It's the pathogens.
They're by a farm, so they can do this.
Yeah,
the farm could have a problem, too.
Right, and you find out.
So no deaths, but 173 different people went to the hospital for cucumbers.
Cucumbers?
What? Yeah.
Oh, I eat, like, two or three of those a week.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
You ever get the English cucumber?
The little smaller ones? The pickling cucumbers?
No, they're longer, but they have less seeds.
Well, and they're covered in plastic, too. They come in that little, vacuum plastic wrap.
Well, they had to come across the ocean, Mike.
That's right. Yeah, I get those all the time.
I love the English ones.
They're fantastic.
I don't know why. If you get a big, fat cucumber and it's too seedy, it throws me off. But that English cucumber, it's always
big and fat.
Do they taste different, or is it just a lack of seeds that's easier to eat?
I think he's right that the taste is not necessarily different. It's the texture.
The texture, yeah.
And I feel like the big fat ones go bad quicker because all of that room in the middle gets mushier faster.
Yeah. I'd like to see mini kosher dills? Like, why can't I just buy mini pickles?
Well, you can buy mini cucumbers.
Or mini cucumbers.
I buy them all the time.
Yeah.
Do you really?
I buy four or five of them a week.
All right, I guess I got to look around.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know they were selling them.
You got to eat those quick, though, because those turn very fast.
Sometimes they're prepackaged, so they got them in plastic. Mm-hmm. So they look like they're in a little, container.
Well, I know. Last summer? There was a big thing going around where everybody's just like, how to eat a whole cucumber. Mm-hmm. And people started making different recipes with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, cucumber is just refreshing, So, it goes on a lot of stuff. Kind of going back to feta and the gyro. I love the cucumber bite. Then number one on the list, again, I could be wrong. I'm willing to bet all of us in here have some form of this, if not right now in our fridge, generally do. 87 hospitalizations last year, 10 deaths. Deli meat.
Yeah.
I wondered if it was going to be chicken or something like that. Yeah.
Well, and deli meat, I was saying earlier in the show, deli meat's one of those things, too, where like, you buy it, and then it sounds strange. But for whatever reason, like, if I buy it, like, I don't eat it on the weekends as much. Sure. And then you got to do that thing on Monday, like, is this still okay?
Hold on to the light. Is there
right.
a rainbow?
Yeah. So, you got to look at it. You got to smell it. So, I would say overall from this list, like, right, going back to the cheese, to the milks, to your yogurts, if it's something you got to look at and smell, just
throw it away.
You should know that's a tipping point on one of those things, right?
I never realized how bad the meat was. So my wife got pregnant, and they said, hey, don't consume alcohol. That one didn't shock me. The only other thing they brought up was cured meat.
Cured meat.
Think about that. Like, your parents said, don't drink alcohol. We're all aware of that. We can understand. Right. But, like, and cured meat. Whatever else you wanted to eat.
That includes a hot dog.
All of it.
Yes, I mean, everything.
Trust me, my wife asked a few questions. He's like, is it cured? If the answer is yes, do not put this in your body.
No kidding.
Yeah, seriously, man.
I'll tell you the new one that's got me is, and most grocery stores sell it now. It's kind of more expensive than other cured meats, but it's like cured beef. Almost like salami, but it's beef.
Huh.
There's a word for it. I can't think of it right now.
I think I might have it at home.
Yeah,
my wife loves the stuff. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it is delicious. So, be careful out there, folks. Don't let your fridge hurt you.
Thank you, Head Chef. We appreciate it. Coming up at 5:08, we'll drink a toast with the shot of the day. You are listening to The Men's Room.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
5:08, we'll drink a toast with a shot of the day. And we do have your headlines on the way at 5:50. But first, quick check on Mike Hogg and some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Well, thank you, Miles. There's an article on NPR about the secret to breaking through small talk with magical questions.
Magical questions.
Basically, it's what you do strive to do in any conversation, or at least what you should strive to do in any conversation that you have is ask a question that everybody can relate to and basically has a story to. It's kind of like what we do on this show here.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the examples that they give is it's hard to ask these questions randomly in a group of people that you're small talking with
without
sounding crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
When's the time that you were the most happy with giving a gift?
And nobody, you're right. Everyone would be like, this dude, he's a little weird.
How about we go around the room and talk about the first concert that we went to and where it was?
How about we don't?
Right. I get what you're trying to do, but
small talk. Like I could tell sometimes too. People like taking a class or something. It's like we don't need to do that. You know what I mean? If you don't know how to talk, it's okay.
And the situation will get there. Somebody brings up a concert. You know, I took my kid to see hell. I don't know.
Exactly.
Disney on Ice. There's a way to get into the conversation. Man, my first concert was. And once you say that, everyone else will chime in and tell you.
Right.
Ask them directly. It's
right.
Weird.
I did it like a week ago, right? I was somewhere and the guy behind me, I heard him mention a place. Now, when my buddy went to the bathroom, I said, hey, have you ever been to this oyster place there? And he was like, my man,
like, I spent too much money there, this and that. I was like, all right, good, I love that place too.
Absolutely locked in. And then look, I'm terrible at conversations. I really am, because I don't like small talk. I'm terrible with it. I'm horribly awkward. And my biggest problem is that I don't know what to talk to you about. When it's my first time meeting you, sure, I don't know what you're into that I can talk about.
And that's the difficulty of small talk, is you're kind of chipping away at the person on the outside
exactly.
to figure out what it is that you're going to talk about. So, and I, same thing, I read a book on it that basically says nobody likes small talk, but you, it's necessary to go through it.
Yeah.
Right. You have to do it to get to that person on the inside.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of how we communicate with other humans.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, you can't just run into somebody at a concert. Like, we have the bond, we're both here.
Yep.
So, right, like last Sunday, right? Like, obviously we both like Billy Strings, we're out here.
Right.
But I don't need to ask him some deep question.
Right.
I'll just start BSing with him about Billy.
There you go.
Or Willie.
And just see where it takes you.
Or Bob.
Billy Wibbly, Billy Willie and Bob. Billy Willie Bob. A new study revealed that the true answer for which way is the right way to hang your toilet paper. So let's go around the room real quick. What do you guys do when it comes to, you know, is it over the top or is it around the back?
It's over the top.
Over the top. Ted Smith.
I have done extensive research. Over the top.
Over the top. Mr. Hill, over the top or around the back?
No preference.
No preference.
No.
I'm over the top myself, and that is the way to do it.
Yeah. For years, I had it underneath, and people were like, it's got to be over top. And then I did some research, and it's like basically the dude that invented it's like, this is the way it is.
Well, and they tried to make it a health thing where if it's around the back, you run a higher risk, depending on how your holder is designed. But you run the risk of, like, hitting the wall that's behind it, which could spread germs and infection.
Okay, it's a bit of a stretch. They're not wrong, right. But yeah.
At the end of the day, it's your preference. Do whatever you want to do. It's just if
it's on the frickin' roller, I'm happy. If you can just get it on there, I'm fine.
Two of the world's most invasive termite species are starting to interbreed.
Oh, one super termite.
One super termite.
We don't really have that problem here.
We really don't.
Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, that was another one. Growing up, you know, the cartoons always had termites that just ate away at whatever it was.
And as a kid, you're like, are these real?
For the most part.
Because I keep hearing about them, but I don't know anyone.
And right.
Why is it, like, so these two invasive termites, they get together, have sex, now they have a super termite. The rats in Baltimore, because a wharf rat and a brown rat had sex, and the rats were bigger and harder to get rid of.
Right.
Right? Why doesn't that happen with people? You know what I mean? Like, every time there's something bad or something that people don't like, right? And there's multiple species. It seems like when these species get together, they come up with a worse... even like a tiger and a lion, right? They create a liger. And it's not that it's any friendlier or more ferocious, but it's almost twice as big as either of its parents.
Right.
Now you took a carnivore and just made it an apex predator and made it larger.
House thought they had a termite problem when I was working for Tri-State Exterminating.
Tri-State Exterminating.
That's right. And I was the guy who drilled into the foundation.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because I was young. And that's a really, really crappy job, right? Big old drill bit. You're on your knees. You're going about every foot around the entire perimeter of the home.
Yeah. Okay.
I hit a nest.
Oh,
termites.
You've never seen more bugs in your life
come
out of one hole. I mean, it was nonsense. It was almost like you turned on a water faucet of bugs.
Oh.
Coming out the hole that I just drilled. I pulled that bit out. I mean, they just flooded. I jumped back. I'm like, oh, I got them, Jim. I know where they are.
They're
man.
There.
Spray it here.
Wow.
For sure. Now. Because typically you drill first and then spray at the end of the job. Then you take concrete and you fill in those holes.
Yeah.
And see, this has always been a wild thing for me because it's like, does it just start with one or two termites that are just out there exploring the area? Then they're like, a house. And then do they go back and call the colony? Do they just start building there?
Like, I don't know.
I'll tell you a weird thing about that too. The pesticides, right? He had like a 20-gallon drum in the back of his truck that was, you know, pesticide stuff.
Yeah.
And you mix that before you did your job, whatever it was. It's like one cup of concentrate, 20 gallons of water.
Damn.
You have no idea. Like, you need a...
It's potent.
You need a license to buy it.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
You're gonna burn something here.
It's crazy.
There's actually a study on the science behind crying happy tears.
Okay.
All right.
It's not terribly interesting. You know, we associate crying with a sadness thing, but to be honest with you, crying is a response to the brain's overloading of emotion is what it is. It's when you are so overcome with emotion that your brain doesn't know how to handle it, so it cries.
Whereas, I shed a tear when the Ravens won the Super Bowl.
There you go.
I could not have been happier.
Exactly. Your brain just didn't know how to process, so it's like, flood the eyeballs.
And scream yeah with both hands up. Just do those things.
I'd say Stapleton got me.
Nice.
And then in London, walking up to the Emirates where Arsenal plays, I had just watched so many games on TV by this point Like, just, I don't know how to explain it, but just seeing that stadium in person, I was like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing I've ever done.
I need a minute, man. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what else. The last time, or a few months ago, when Maryland was playing a basketball game, I took a couple of my buddies from here to the Maryland pep rally, and we got giant hats, and watching my buddies sing the Maryland fight song kind of got to me, too.
Nice.
Look at them, man. They're real Terps.
You're nailing it, man. Some people argue that we're throwing away items that could be repurposed into something else way too often.
Of course.
Well, right. Sure. I mean...
Exactly.
Some man's trash, another man's treasure, Mike.
Let me give you some examples.
The Men's Room Top 10. The Men's Room Top 10.
10 common items everyone throws away that should be used again and again and again. I've been using the same plastic fork for over a month now. Sure, I've got real silverware, but I don't feel like loading and unloading my dishwasher. I figure as long as I run that fork under some warm water to get any food particulate off of the tongs, I'm good to go. Plus, I don't believe all this hubbub about microplastics causing damage to your body, like getting into your brain or your coccyx or your pee-pee.
Thank you, VD. So these are common items that everyone throws away that should be used again and again and again. Number 10, takeout containers.
Really?
Most plastic takeout containers are not flimsy. They're built to handle heat, stacking, and travel. Many are dishwasher safe and can be reused for months with basic care. Instead of tossing them after one use, wash them and use them for leftovers, meal prep, pantry organization, or even craft supplies.
If I'm getting Thai food and getting soup,
those containers they have for the soup.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Pho, whatever.
They last forever.
Yeah.
Nice work.
Actually, pretty good.
All right, I dig it. Empty spice jars. They're just begging for a second life, boys.
Weed.
I used to, but then you end up with too many. Like, I don't need anymore.
Spices don't last forever, but their jars can. Those small, uniform containers are incredibly useful for all kinds of storage. Everything from house-made spice blends and herbal teas to sewing needles, office supplies, or even travel-sized toiletries. Their small size, screw-top lids, and clear bodies make them ideal for organizing tiny, tiny things.
Yeah, they're not wrong. It just at some point, I got too many.
Yeah. I remember one. There was a juice bottle that I think I got one time. It came in this little tiny glass bottle. Drank this juice, one of those like super juices or whatever. Yeah. And I drank it. I was like, that's actually a really good bottle. I should keep that. I haven't done a damn thing with it since. It's just sitting there. Again, common items that everybody throws away that could be used again and again and again and again. Tissue paper. They say it can be folded and reused again and again. Tissue paper is one of the most wasted gift wrapping supplies out there, but it's also one of the easiest to reuse. After birthdays, holidays, or packages in the mail, smooth out the used sheets, fold them gently, and tuck them into the drawer. Even crinkled pieces work beautifully for future gifts, shipping filler, or art projects. Most tissue paper is surprisingly durable and can survive multiple uses if you handle it gently.
Don't care. The only time I get tissue paper is when someone gives a gift. The only time it's ever used is if my wife is wrapping a gift.
There you go.
But we don't feel the need to keep it.
No. I feel like no matter what, if I'm using tissue paper, I buy it with the bag that I buy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, generally.
On the way to the party.
Yeah. I mean, I use a lot more tissue paper now because it just makes the bag look better.
Yep.
But I'm with you. That's the only reason. People are like, just hand some tissue paper.
Exactly. Well, and after you flatten it out, like, no, the crinkles are still there. And you can tell, like, this is reused tissue paper.
But, like, let's just be honest, too. Like, Christmas, birth, like, that's a lost venture. You're buying a gift. You got to put something. You got to buy the tissue paper, the bag. Like, we've just established giving this gift is a loss for me.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Can I get the tissue paper back?
Number 7, rubber bands and twist ties are free organizing tools in disguise. Those little bands and ties that come with produce, bread bags, or bundles of herbs, don't toss them. They're endlessly reusable and perfect for organizing chargers, sealing half-used snack bags, labeling plants, or bundling loose items in drawers. Twist ties can even be written on for quick DIY tags or garden markers.
The best use I've seen is like if you have a pair of cheap, like thong flip flops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If that thing keeps pulling in to the bottom, put the little bread thing underneath it.
Oh, there you go.
And that'll stop it from coming through.
Okay. There you go.
All right.
Paper shopping bags are tougher and more reusable than they look. They might seem disposable, but most paper, grocery, or retail bags are durable enough for several rounds of reuse. With built-in handles and thicker construction than plastic, they're perfect for hauling lunch, carrying returns, or stashing everything from books to off-season clothing. You can even cut them into wrapping paper or turn them into homemade gift bags and seed starting pots.
Or if you live in King County, use them for recycling.
Exactly.
That's what I like to
100% of them go under the sink and they're used for recycling.
Yes.
That's all I'm doing.
That's I use them all the time for recycling.
Right.
Makes I just wait, you take one out, you just put it next to your trash can so people know.
Right. Because mm-hmm. there's inevitably going to be some sort of liquid with whatever it is that you're recycling.
Right.
And it soaks it up just fine. It's great. Candle jars are way too useful to throw away with wax. Once the wax is gone, most people toss candle jars, but they're usually made of thick, reusable glass. A little hot water or freezer trickery loosens the leftover wax, and once clean, these jars make beautiful storage for everything from cotton swabs to spices and hardware.
But see, I don't want to go through all that.
No.
And really, just look, man, in a flower vase, I get, like, rinse the bitch out. But if there's all this wax and crap, like, I'm not going through all this for a glass.
Right, and I just, I'm never that hard up for storage that I True. Think I need to keep my candle jars. To be fair, yeah. I'm not using candles a whole lot anymore, but I don't find myself, you know, going on there and getting, like, reusable totes or something like that online that I buy and bring home.
Correct. Look, if you're one of those people that's super clean, I get some of this stuff. Like, for somebody like me, I already have enough clutter.
Yeah.
So what I don't need to start be like, oh, I should save this, too.
Yeah,
I'm already saving enough BS.
Exactly.
For nothing.
Your oldest T-shirts still have a job. It's just not as clothing. Before tossing that threadbare tee, cut it into rags. Soft cotton makes an excellent cleaning clothes for dusting, polishing, or wiping down counters and windows. Unlike paper towels, they don't leave lint behind, and they're washable and reusable for months.
All right.
Not the worst idea.
I mean, that's fair, sure.
I feel like my folks used those old cotton diapers.
It's like
it's not much different.
It's
right?
Like dust rags and whatnot.
Oh, sure.
You know, because after a while, you don't care about getting it stained anymore or anything like that. So
it's been pooped in.
Exactly. Like, who cares? Just keep rolling. It took me forever to figure that out when I was a kid, too, when I was growing up.
What's that?
Is that those things were diapers. Because for me, diapers was, you know, Pampers or whatever in the hell that everybody just throws away all the damn time. I did not realize that that reusable diapers was a thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want it to be.
Yeah.
I did not want it to be, but yes, it could be done.
I mean, you're not wearing them.
That's true. That's his problem.
You notice they don't recommend that for older adults. Just for babies.
Just babies, right.
It's a good point.
Why wouldn't they, though?
Because the adults are much bigger.
And I think if you're at that point, like, you might not know. You probably aren't going to be on top to, like, just change it right away.
Yeah.
Like, the baby has no idea, so it's on you as the parent to be like, all right, I need to change it. But if you're already just kind of sitting there and letting a little out, not meaning to, maybe you're not on top of changing your own diaper.
Yeah, that's probably a good call. Bread bags aren't fancy, but they're surprisingly functional. Don't let those thin plastic bread bags fool you. They're reusable and surprisingly handy. Rinse and dry them, and then they become the perfect container for storing produce, marinating food, or keeping snacks fresh. You can even use them as liners for compost bins or to freeze items short term.
I don't know that I ever felt poor than having a sandwich made on the heels of the bread, and then we didn't have a bag.
And then wrapped it in the bread.
Oh, yeah. God. I feel embarrassed just even thinking about walking into school with that sandwich and stuff in the bag.
We've all been there, brother.
Nothing wrong with a heel sandwich.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I actually like the crust. Unpopular opinion, I like the crust.
No. Do you like it, or is that just your kind of...
Because it's been in there for the longest period of time.
That's just your personal thing. Yeah.
Maybe.
So
I do like it.
You've got the loaf for 5-6 days. They've been sitting on the end.
Yeah.
They're not moist in the middle. Yeah, they're protecting the loaf. But they're not worthy of your time to eat it.
I disagree. You put the right things on there, then you just get a good old crusty sandwich. I like the crust. I really do like the crust.
That's a sad, sad sandwich when you got to use one of those.
Shipping envelopes don't belong in the trash after one use. No. Padded envelopes, bubble mailers, even the sturdy paper ones from online retailers. Most of these can be reused multiple times before they hit the bin. Carefully slit them open, avoid tearing, and keep stashed for when you need to send something later.
All right.
Okay. I've never felt that up against it, but do what you got to do.
Does anyone have a memory of throwing away a Crown Royal bag?
No.
Even if you didn't know what you were going to put in it, you're like, save this for a rinse.
Those you do keep.
Yeah. It stores easy.
It really does.
And then I'll leave you with this last common item that everybody throws away that should be used again and again and again. The glass jar from your pasta sauce can organize half of your kitchen. Yeah, they're perfect for storing dry goods, leftovers, homemade dressings, or even pens and screws. Okay.
I'm not sure.
If you'd like to. It's allowed, I guess. A video is making the rounds from Miami of a police officer doing something straight out of an action movie, Miles.
What was that?
Oh, but at 5:50.
Thank you, sir. Headlines are coming up at 5:50. In the meantime, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Three time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve Thrillhill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today, we toast an unfortunate group of passengers on a recent Delta flight to Orlando, Florida. Now, we're not sure where the flight originated from, but after passengers boarded the plane, their flight was delayed for 2 hours. And passengers, they were just stuck on the plane, just sitting on the runway for 120 minutes. Now, naturally, many, many people grew agitated and irritable. And then, in an inexplicably poor effort to calm the passengers down, the flight crew agreed to let a little girl sing the song How Far I'll Go from the Disney movie Moana over the intercom. So she's not just like a 2-year-old girl singing in a chair where you kind of go, that's cute. It's like a 12 or 13-year-old girl has the intercom and is singing Disney tunes to people that have been stuck on a plane, not a flight, just the plane for 2 hours. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, this sounds like my worst nightmare, my personal hell. One passenger said, quote, this is actually my nightmare and personal hell. Oh. If you're thinking to yourself, this would send me over the edge. Another passenger said, quote, this sent me over the edge. Now, the good news is eventually the kid did shut up and the plane took off for Orlando. The bad news is when it reached Orlando airspace, it had to circle the Orlando airport for another 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
So you were on a runway for 2 hours because you can't take off. There's a little girl singing Disney songs. I would have lost my freaking mind. The flight finally takes off, and then when you get to Orlando airspace, it's like, yeah, we got to circle for 2 hours before you land.
Jesus.
Why did they let it go on that long? I mean, I'm sure it was cute the first couple songs, but...
Yeah,
I'm with you. I'd have been like, I don't know. Okay.
Listen, cute, when it's that kind of thing, especially if you're going to sing a Disney song, which just absolutely makes my eyes twitch, but if the kid is 8 years old or younger, I will shut my mouth because it's cute. This girl may be preteen. She's old enough that it's not cute anymore. It's right. Just annoying. I just watched the video and I kind of chuckled and I'm like, I would have to kill this person. And I don't know why the flight crew said, hey, don't just sing, little girl. Here's the intercom. So, my God.
I'm with you.
Yeah, it's terrible. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
All right, let's get a contestant live for Profile This Now. 206-803-ROCK. Profile This is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.